Dabar Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon leimer. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Zois chukas ha-Torah, this is the law of the Torah, Asher tziva Hashem leimer, that Hashem commanded, saying, Dabar b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Yisrael, v'yichu eilecha pora aduma tamima, they should take for you a red cow, tamima complete without a mum, never had a yoke placed upon it. On Zoyz Kukas HaTayra, Rashi says, why did the Torah say this Hagdama? Zoyz Kukas HaTayra could have just said, Dabar, Dabar Shamashar on Lamar, Dabar on a Yisrael, Vikoy Lacha, why this Hagdama, why this introduction of Zoyz Kukas HaTayra? So Rashi says, because the Satan and the nations of the world, they start up with Klal Yisrael, and they say, what's this mitzvah? There's no reasoning behind it. So the Torah says, L'chadchila, Chuka, it's a gzeira himufanai, it's a decree, without any reason, Ein l'cho reshus l'harer achareho, you have no permission to think into it and to wonder about the reason. That is what Rashi says. Now it's interesting, the Torah usually doesn't do this. The Torah usually, it speaks about the mitzvah, it tells you the mitzvah, it tells you the halachas, but it doesn't add any extra commentary to it that you're not supposed to think about it. Why over here does the Torah say, Zois chukas ha-Torah, because of what the Umas HaOlam say? If anything, we don't really take into consideration what the Kursim say. You find in Sefer Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Na'ase Odom, B'Talmeinu Kidmusenu, let us make man. And over there we're not worried about people saying that there was more than one Rishus that was making man, Lashon Rabbah. We're not afraid of that. Rashi says over there, let them say what they say. We know the Emes. So why over here does the Torah find it necessary to say Zoyz Kukas HaTorah because of what the Umas HaOlam say? It's also interesting the Lashon Zoyz Kukas HaTorah. All the Mepharshim ask the question, we're speaking about Parah Aduma in particular. So why then does it say over here, Zoyz Kukas HaTorah, as if it's the chayk of the entire Torah? The entire Torah is a chayk. We're speaking about Parah Aduma. What it should have said was, Zoyz Kukas HaParah. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says a very important yisayit over here. When the Torah says, Zoyz Kukas HaTorah, it's not just an added commentary to the mitzvah. It's not like the Iker is the Kiyam HaMitzvah, and Zoyz Kukas HaTorah is just an added commentary. You're not supposed to think about it. Rav Yaakov says that the Iker of the mitzvah is doing the mitzvah without knowing the reason behind it, without knowing the rationale. That is the Iker of the mitzvah. And that is the ultimate of serving Hashem out of fear without understanding what you're doing. Ahava, usually when you love something, you want to get to know it better, you want to get close to it. That's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Ahava, knowing the reasons of his mitzvahs, knowing the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. The ultimate in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Yira is serving him, I don't know what the answer is, but I don't know what the reason is, but I'm doing it anyway. And that's why the Torah says of Yezoyz Kukas HaTorah, it's not mere commentary. This is the essence of the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is doing the mitzvah even though you don't understand the reason. That's why Rav Yaakov learns pshat. With this, he says a very nice pshat in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Tzadi Zayin says the following. Even though my regular derech is to write reasons of the mitzvahs by every single mitzvah, but by this mitzvah my hands have gotten weak. And over here, I don't want to open up my mouth and give a reason. Because about this, Shlomo HaMelech said, Amarti Echkema, I thought I would be wise, v'hi rechoka mimeni. This mitzvah is beyond my understanding. So Shlomo HaMelech said this, who are we to give a reason? This is what the Sefer HaChinuch says. So Yaakov asks a question on the Sefer HaChinuch. He says, when we give reasons for the mitzvahs, we pass the halacha that we're not Deirish time of the Krah. We give reasons only for the Musar aspect of it. But we don't learn halachas out. The reason applies here, but it doesn't apply over there. Rav Shimon is Deirish time of the Krah throughout Kabbalah Torah Kula, and based on the reasoning of the mitzvah, he comes up with different halachas based on the reason. We don't pass like Rav Shimon. Although we give reasons, it's only for the Musar aspect, for the lessons that you could learn from the reasons. So as far as we're concerned, it makes no difference if we give a reason or not. So Rabbi Yaakov is on the chinuch, so why, what does it bother the chinuch to give a reason over here? There's not going to be any practical difference anyway. So what's wrong with giving a reason over here? So Rabbi Yaakov, because the Torah says, Zayis Kukash HaTorah, the more rationale you give for a mitzvah, the more reasoning you give for the mitzvah, it takes away from the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. The essence of the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is to serve Hashem, not understanding the mitzvah. That is what the reason is all about. If you give reasons, then Adonai, you're not being mekayem the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to serve Hashem without understanding. That is why the Sefer HaChinuch over here holds back from giving a reason for the mitzvah. And even if it doesn't make an akumin halacha.
In the time of Beis Medrash, didn't understand
the
reason either?
The only one that understood the reason was Moshe Rabbeinu. Shleim HaMelech, the Chacham Yikol Adam said, Echkem Avihi Rechaikem Imeni. It's beyond my understanding.
But all the chaiks were understood in the time of Beis Medrash.
No, especially not this one. Especially not this one. Different chukim maybe, but especially not this one. Now, with this, Rabbi Yaakov explains, we know that before Matan Torah, before Maimon Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave certain mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. He gave Kibud Av Va'Em, he gave the mitzvah of Shabbos, and he gave the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. Kibud Av Va'Em, we can understand. He wanted Klal Yisrael to start being mekayim certain mitzvahs that they should be already a little bit prepared for Matan Torah. Kibud Av Va'Em, there are practical halachas there. Fine. The mitzvah of Shabbos, also the same thing. There's practical halachas in Hilchas Shabbos. He wanted them to be already a little bit mechunuch in the mitzvahs before mekabel on ourselves the Torah. But Parah Aduma was not negei lemaisa. Parah Aduma, you need a mishkan for that. You need an oil mayid. You need a heichal. Without the mishkan, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah. So what purpose was there in giving them the mitzvah of Parah Aduma before Matan Torah? It wasn't shy practically to be mekayim the mitzvah. How would they be mekayim? It's impossible. So after Yankiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach them this mitzvah, even if practically it couldn't be mekayim it, but he wanted them to know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that's beyond our grasp. And he wanted that to be mechich on the rest of the Torah. You should know that even in places where you know the reason, that's not the reason why we do the mitzvah. We do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do it. Even if we don't understand the mitzvah, there's a concept of doing the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even without our understanding it. And that's the pshat why it says over here, Zeis Chukas HaTorah. Not just Zeis Chukas HaPara. Because Parah Aduma is megala to us, it reveals to us that no matter what the reason is, deep, deep, deep down, we really don't understand the full reason behind it. And we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu not because we understand, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. Of course, like the Sefer HaChinuch says, Taimim in the mitzvah, Taim is the taste of the mitzvah. But the taste of a food is not its essence. Right? The taste of the food is to make it more geschmack to you. So we understand reasonings of mitzvahs to give us a geschmack, to give us a kayak to do the mitzvah. It gives us, it energizes us to do the mitzvah. But why we really serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, and even if we wouldn't understand the reason, we would be mekayim. It's interesting. The Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin, Sugya Kibud Av Va'Em over there, and the Gemara says that there was a guy by the name of Doma ben Nisina that had a valuable jewel that the Chachamim wanted for the Beis Hamikdash, and the jewel was under his father's head, or it was in a safe, or the key to the safe was under the father's head or by his feet, and the father was asleep, and Doma ben Nisina did not want to wake up his father. So the Chachamim, I'm sorry, what can I do? They offered him a tremendous amount of money. The Yaakov Pekin, he wasn't willing to wake up his father. So they went away, and he didn't make the tremendous profit that he could have made. Next year, he was blessed with a Parah Aduma al Schar for being Mekayim this mitzvah Kibud Av Va'Em. What's the Midah Keneged Midah? He was Mekayim Kibud Av Va'Em. What's the Midah Keneged Midah getting a Parah Aduma? The Teretz says, if he would have rationalized, and if he would have thought about the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em, he would have said, surely my father, if he'd know that I'm going to make a profit, surely he would have wanted me to wake him up, and surely he's probably going to be upset with me if I don't make the profit. But Doma ben Nisina was not willing to rationalize. If there's a mitzvah of honoring my father, there's a mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em, I'm doing it regardless, no matter what. See, he was given the mitzvah parah aduma that doesn't have a seichel behind it. That is the ultimate in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu without a rationale. That's what the Sfasema says. Sfasema says that the Midah Kenegid Midah was, he was mekayem a mitzvah without rationalizing, without finding heterim. And the Seif Dover was, he was given a mitzvah which he made a tremendous profit of. That's the mitzvah where the essence is, like Rav Yankel says over here, Zois Chukas HaTorah, the essence of the mitzvah is the chayk. It's interesting that the Chosid Yaivitz writes that during the Spanish Inquisition, the people that were the intellects and the people that were able to rationalize different mitzvahs, they were the ones that were not made in the Soyan. They were not willing to give up their lives and to be mice and nefesh. And they rationalized in this case, perhaps it's mutter for us to be medical, perhaps it's mutter for us to make compromises. And Lehepa, it was the simple yid that didn't. They weren't the biggest philosophers, they weren't the biggest brains, they weren't able to rationalize. They knew Pashut, we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the ones that were mice and nefesh. This is what the Chosid Yaivitz writes, who was around at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. Essence of Zayis Chukas HaTorah is we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu not because we understand it, not because we know the reasons for it. We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply because He told us to do it. In the parish of Tumah V'Tahara, the Torah goes on to say Zayis HaTorah Odom Ki Yomuz Ba'ayel. This is the Torah. If a person dies in a tent, anything that's in the tent becomes Tumah, that's Tumas Ba'ayel. Chazal Darshan, this pasuk, Zayis HaTorah, Odom Ki Yomuz Ba'ayel. In whom is Torah Miskayim? In whom is Zayis HaTorah? Who is Zayis HaTorah? Odom Ki Yomuz Ba'ayel. Ein HaTorah Miskayemes, Ela B'misha Memes Atzma Yolah. The Torah is only Mekuyim and someone that's willing to kill himself for the Torah. Shenema, like it says, Zayis HaTorah, Odom Ki Yomuz Ba'ayel. The simple pshat is, Memes Atzma Yolah means he's willing to deaden his gashmias that he needs. He's willing to go through discomfort. He's willing to give up of his eating and his sleeping. He's willing to be Moshe Nefesh from Inyoni Olam Hazeh. He gives that up to the Inyon of Ruchnias for Torah. That's where the Torah is, Mekuyim. I heard a very nice pshat. Kelmer Magid, very Yoduah the Kemagid, was once darshaning to a certain Kehillah. And he said, imagine if Eliyahu HaNavi came to the Beis HaKfaris and he makes an announcement that all of the dead people in this Beis HaKfaris, you have an hour to get up and do whatever you want. He blows the shofar and all of a sudden there's a Tchias HaMeitzim. They would all rush to the Beis Medrash, they'd all rush to the Beis HaKnesses. They know very well what's important up there. They know that up there, the Gashmi is the world, does not really matter. They know up there that every second of them would not tell you is precious. The Batik Messias, the Batik Midrash, they would be packed. There'd be a rash of Torah, there'd be a tremendous desirous, and they would try and hop around every single minute. Kelma Magid looks at the audience and he says, who says that you have more than an hour left on this world? Maybe this is your last hour. So maybe you should have to also do the same thing. Fantastic shot in the pasuk. Zayis HaTorah Odom Ki Yomuz Ba'ayel. If a person imagines that he's going to die very shortly afterwards, and he imagines he doesn't have that much more time left on this world, what is important in this world? He has to hop around right now. The Torah is mekuyim on such a person. A person that looks at himself as his life down here is limited. He doesn't know when he's going to leave this world. Torah is mekuyim in a person that's willing to be memes atzmei aleha. He imagines that pretty soon he's going to leave this world, and the melech he has to chaper right every minute, every single second. Heard of Shach, Zeichet Tzadik B'Kodesh L'Bracha, once said over that the Nazi monster Eichmann, Shem Rishon Yerkov, Adolf Eichmann, Machshamay V'Zichray, on the day that he died, he had himself a regular meal. He had a regular meal, he had a regular newspaper open in front of him. You know, like someone that sits by breakfast, by the breakfast table with a newspaper, he had a regular meal in the regular newspaper. And it sounds to us disgusting. You know you're going to die. There's no fear there, there's no trepidation, there's no maybe making a cheshbon hanefesh, nothing. like everything was normal. He's eating a regular meal, and he's reading the newspaper. So Shach said this over. He said, are we any different? We know that eventually our time is going to come, and we sit and we relax. Life goes on as usual. We do our regular things. We do our regular routine, and we don't feel pressured for anything. You know, we go on our merry way. A person has to know, he always has to have in front of him that the time is going to come when we're not going to have any more time to shtay. We're not going to have any more time to go weiter. The Vilna Gaon, before he was nifter, he was crying. He says, Talmidim asked him, Rebbe. He said, what are you crying about? He says, the Rebbe knows exactly where he's going. He's not going to the wrong place. He's going to go to the highest place in Gan Eden. So why is the Rebbe crying? He says, oi, 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 what a beautiful world this is. And he held on to his tzitzis. For a couple of pennies, you could be kind of a mitzvah like tzitzis. There's so many opportunities down here to accomplish, to be kind of mitzvahs, to accumulate zechusim. He says, up there in the Olam HaEmes, you can't do that anymore. In the Olam HaEmes, there's tremendous hanah. But the ability to grow, the ability to shtay, the ability to get bigger, that is no longer existent in the Eilam HaEmes. To leave this world of growth and shtaying, that is very difficult. And that's what we have to think. Zaysa Tayyar, if a person always has in front of himself that Yom HaMisa, that there's going to come a time where he won't be able to do that anymore. So that gives him the impetus, b'shas maisa, to make the most out of every moment and to shtay weiter. In this Hilchus Tumah, the pasuk says, "The chol kli pasuach, any open keli that's in the tent with the dead body, asher ain tamid pasul alav, that doesn't have a covering that seals the keli, tamehu, the tumah goes into it and it makes the keli tamei." So the Chofetz Chaim says that there's a remez over here. The chol kli pasuach is going on the mouth. Any kli pasuach, a mouth which is open, Asher ain't summit puzzle alone, that we don't have a seal on it, that we don't keep it closed. Tomei was tummy. It's very easy to be tummy. Ritzel Petterberger, when he first came to Eretz Yisrael, so they asked him to say a drasha in shul, a musar drasha. So he said, throughout my life, I was always careful to speak only when I had two guards on my mouth, my lips and my teeth. But now that I'm older, I only have one of those guards. So in Mela, I'm afraid to allow myself to speak. That's a perfect example. The chokli pasuach, if the mouth is open, asher ain tamid pasul alav, that the person is not careful, and he's not cognizant of the fact that the mouth is the most kodesh dikikeli, and if you don't watch it, then who knows where you can get carried away with your deeper in the wrong places? Tomei, it's automatically tomei. The mouth has to have a special shmirah. In the biography of Rav Elchanan Wasserman, so there's a whole chapter on the times that people saw him smile. Rav Elchanan had the Oil Malchus Shemayim, the burden of Shemayim on him constantly. You very rarely saw him smile. He always was very intense in his Avodas Hashem. But there were exceptions when he smiled. Can you imagine? They can make a list of the times that they saw him smile. Some people have to make a list of the times that they're frowning. By him, there's a chapter on when they saw him laughing or smiling. So one of the times was, he was giving a shmuz in the yeshiva. He said over a gemara, Rabbi Yochanan said that it was really royal. The proper thing would have been if Adam would have been created with two mouths. One for Inyanei Kedusha and one for Inyanei Chulin. Because the mouth of Kedusha has to be Kadosh. The mouth that davens, the mouth that says Divrei Torah, the mouth that elevates the entire being of the group, that has to be totally Kadosh. And the mouth that's used for mundane matters should really be a separate mouth. But then he said, Rabbi Yechon says, why isn't it like that? And that's when Rabbi Chanan broke out in a little bit of a chuckle. Madlich, with one mouth, we have such a hard time watching what the mouth says. Could you imagine if we would have two mouths, how difficult it would be to watch ourselves? Rabbi Chanan gave a little chuckle when he said that. But the Chofetz Chaim, even with this one mouth, if we don't have that seal on top of it, then it's coming. Towards the end of the parasha, the Torah tells us about the battle against Sichon Melech HaEmori. He asked Sichon to go through his land, and Sichon didn't allow us to go through his land, and he came out with an army against us, and it ended up that Klal Yisrael beat him, and they conquered all of the different cities that belonged to Sichon. And afterwards, the Torah speaks about this tremendous Nitzachon. It says, Al Ken Yainu HaMoishlim. Because of this, the Moishlim say, Bayu Cheshbon, let's come to Cheshbon. Cheshbon was a fortified city that was very hard to penetrate. Tibona B'Sichon and Ir Sichon. The Torah speaks about the might of Sichon Melech HaMoiri and the powerful cities that he had. And it goes on to speak about that, the way people used to speak about Ir Sichon and so on. The Gemara takes this pasuk and translates it to mean something else completely, nothing to do with Sichon Melech HaEmori, and nothing to do with the battle against his country. Al Kein Yomru HaMoishlim. Because of this, the rulers say, who are the rulers? Elu HaMoishlim B'Yitzram. These are the people that rule over their Yetzer Hara. What do they say? Bayu Cheshbon. Let's make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Bayu V'Nashay Cheshbon Yishalaylam. Let's make the Cheshbon of the world. Hefsid Mitzvah Kineged Schora. If I do a mitzvah and I lose something because of the mitzvah, how much more schar am I going to get because of it? V'schar Aveira Kineged Hefseda. And if I benefit from an Aveira, how much I'm going to lose later on in the long run. And the Torah gives a whole Musr, that the Gemara gives a whole Musr Shmuz over here. Tibana V'Sichayin. If you make this Cheshbon HaNefesh, you will be built over here in Olam Hazeh, you will be established in Olam Haba, and so on. And it goes on to a lengthy Musr Shmuz. It sounds like we're talking about two different worlds over here. The Pasuk speaks about a war that went on in Cheshbon, and the city that we conquered from Sichon Melech HaEmori, and Chazal Darshan it to mean something else completely, that a tzaddik has to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh with himself. How do we make the Pshat and the Drush and the Chazal come together, that they should have a connection with one another? So there's many different Pshatim that are said on this. And this week it hit me a Pshat based on something that I said once before. It's a davar yodua that when Klal Yisrael went out to war, the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad used to make an announcement, who is the person that married a woman and didn't have a chance yet to live with her? People went back home. Who is the person that planted a vineyard, didn't have a chance yet to be nehenah from it? They went back home. Who is the person that built the house? And so on. Miho ish hayore v'rach ha-levov? Who is the person that's afraid and soft-hearted? The people went back. Chazal say, hayore v'rach ha-levov, a person that was afraid of his aveiros. Even a person that was mastered between the Tfilu Shal Yad and Tfilu Shal Rosh, even such a person went back home. So as you could imagine, that the people that went out to war, the people that were Menaseya, these were Kedoshi Elyon. They weren't even over on talking between Tfilu Shal Yad and Tfilu Shal Rosh. They were perfect, without a blemish. They were holy, holy people. That's what the Torah is telling us over here. How in the world is it possible that Sichon, Rashi says that the city of Cheshbon, even if it would be full of mosquitoes, it would be impossible to conquer. It was such a fortified city. It was so walled around, it was so hard to penetrate. Even if it would only be filled with mosquitoes and no people, you couldn't penetrate. And even if Sichon would have been in a not fortified city, there's no way in the world that you could have beaten them. That you had Sichon Melech HaEmori, the powerful giant Sichon, and in the fortified city of Cheshbon, Kal v'chomer, Menbeneishel Kal v'chomer, it was physically impossible to beat him. So how in the world is it shaykh over here that the Yidden were just able to wipe him out? It's because Al Ken Yomru HaMoishlim, Elu HaMoishlim B'Yitzram. They were the ones that were Moishlim on the Yetzahara. Bayu Cheshbon, Bayu V'Nashir Cheshbon Yishaloylam. They used to make a Cheshbon and Nefesh all the time. They were the people that were, that had tremendous Yerushamayim, and they did not have within themselves even one Averit. The people that are Mashiv Cheshbonis Shalom, they're always making Cheshbonis. They didn't have one Aveira. That's the way it was Shaykh to conquer Sichon. That's the way it was Shaykh to these tremendous Nisim. But Derech HaTeva wasn't Shaykh. But Shaloi Kederech HaTeva, because they were on such a high madrega, that's the way they were able to conquer over Sinai. Rav Elia Lopian was once giving a chabura to Talmidim how it's important to keep a cheshbon of your avodas. Would anybody dare have a checking account and not keep a cheshbon of the checks? There'd be checks bouncing all over the world. Right? So a person has to have a cheshbon of his credits and his debits. He says it's kedai to keep a little notebook. If a person doesn't have there, he spoke a little bit lashon hara here, maybe he made a comment here, maybe here he was over on this avera, to keep a cheshbon, he'll know what to do tshuva for. And as he was speaking, he took out a little yellowed notebook. He was already in his 80s. He said that since his bar mitzvah, he's been keeping this notebook, you know, as a cheshbon for his avers. And he put it down on the table and he went on. In the middle of the chabura, somebody called Rav Elia for some sort of an emergency, and he had to stop the chabura in the middle, and he ran out and he forgot his little notebook on the table. Everybody walked out. And there was this one fellow who was curious, and he wanted to see what kind of, you know, cheshbon and nefesh rebellion made, how many aveiros he had. So he made like he walks into the room like he needed a safer, and he looks here and he looks there, and he picks up the cover of the notebook. Only the first page had writing on it, and it was about half full. And he said it was the kind of aveiros that you and me don't, you know, they're not the kind of aveiros that the regular people do. They were aveiros on a much higher level. That's shocked when someone that keeps a cheshbon, al ten yengra amayishlam bayu cheshbon. And that's what Chazal mean over here. The pshat with the drush, they managed to go hand in hand beautifully. Do you know why they were zeiche to be menatzeich over cheshbon? It was impossible. And sichay melech amayir, it was impossible to conquer. How was it able? Because of bayu cheshbon, because they made that cheshbon and nefesh, because they were on that high madrega, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with them in a mile of menatevedik way. I just want to finish off with a beautiful vart that I saw. One of the great Hasidish Rebbes, his name was Reb Herschel Rimlover. Kaddish Elyon. So the son-in-law of Reb Herschel was on the Wednesday of Parshas Chukas. He had a dream. He had a dream that he was up in Shemayim, and he saw his father-in-law up in Shemayim. His father-in-law, Reb Herschel Rimlover, is up in Shemayim, and in Shemayim he was saying the following pshat. He says, it's Yodua that Averis and Tumah come because of Gaiva, because of haughtiness. If a person would be Machmiah himself, if a person would lower himself and negate his own needs for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the person would not come Lidei Tumah, he wouldn't come Lidei Averis. He says, that's why when we're Metaher, the Tameh, we take Agudas Ezer, we take a bunch of Hysap, because Ezev is a tiny little grass that's the symbol of Anavah. How are you mitired the Tomei? You place upon him something that represents the Midah of Anavah. So when it says in the Pasuk, V'lokach Ezev, he should take the Hysap, the truck, the Tomei Anagina, is Kadma V'Asla. What does that mean? Because I'll say, Histakel V'Shloisha Dvarim V'Yataboli De'Aveira. Kadma, look at before. Where do you come from? Mitipa srucha, from a little drop of zera. That ought to instill humility in you. Va'asla, where are you going to go? Lamok and rima v'sagleya, a person will be buried in the ground. They'll be full of worms. So the kadma and the asla, that should be something that instills in you another. So v'lokach ezay, kadma v'asla, that's the midah of ezay that instills another. So he woke up, he was shaken up by the dream. It's Mayur the Kipshat. Next day, he told a different Hasidim about the Pshat. They waited for Shabbos. And sure enough, by the Shabbos dish, Herschel Rimlover said over this Pshat. A big tumble amongst the Hasidim. So afterwards, he asked the son of a, what was the big tumble about? So he told him that I had this dream on Wednesday that you said this Pshat up in Shemaya, and I told it over to the Hasidim. So he said, what's the big deal? I don't say over a pshat until I have a haskama min hashamayim. What's it? Haskama means I have they give me their approval. Give me their approval. The lokach ezer kadma v'azla, That's the Yisrael of Anova. A good Shabbos, everybody.
The guy who said it,
the Herschel Rimnover said that he doesn't say over Shach Barabim unless he first gets the approval of Shammai.
What's the difference?